Good day. This is Sam Carpenter, and I'm here with Josh Fonger, and we're going to do a podcast entitled The Three Techniques to Make Procedures Stick. This is hugely important. The fundamental difference between a large successful business and a small struggling one is written documentation. Boring but true. It's a fact. You can only grow so far, and then you can't grow anymore. You're killing fires, you're spending 60 hours, 80 hours, 100 hours a week running your business, and you can do it all, and you're a jack of all trades. And your people, if you have people, don't really know what to do. They have to get really good at mind reading and fortune telling. You've got to get things down. You've got to get them down on paper. And this is one of the biggest hurdles we have. I want to tell you a little bit about my company. I have written a book called Work the System, The Simple Mechanics of Making More and Working Less. I wrote it in 2008. It was published in spring of 2008, and it's had three editions now. And I have a partner in the business who owns part of the business, and his name is Josh Fonger, and he's on the line. Are you there, Josh?
I'm here.
So Josh is my field guy, and what we do at Work the System Consultants is we help businesses survive and thrive. This is for people who want freedom, people who want their business to be separate from them, to be a money-making machine, running itself pretty much with a little bit of supervision on the outside. And that's where owning a business gets fun. Most of our people are owners of businesses, but we have managers, too, that listen in. And just as an overview, we work with businesses typically under $5 million in annual revenue. And certainly with businesses under $1 million, and sometimes right down to startups. And we've worked with businesses up to $500 million in annual revenue. But what we're talking about here, typically, if you're in the typical profile, you're under $5 million. You may be under a very good chance you're under $1 million. There's a very good chance you're struggling and not making much money at all. But we cover it all, tending toward that range. Now, 50% of our consulting and coaching clients are online businesses, and 50% are what we call bricks and mortar. And, of course, there's a real mixture between the two in other businesses. So we really cover the range. In fact, if you go to the coaching page on the website, there's a list of all the industries that we've worked in, and I think they're I think that listing is about all the industries there are in the whole world, Josh. It goes on and on and on. Work the System, The Simple Mechanics of Making More and Working Less will show you exactly what to do. But there are some roadblocks, and there are some positive things that we can give you to help you make it much smoother and much faster to this freedom and profitability place. Now, Josh, you've coached hundreds of businesses. I don't think we've had one failure. We have very successfully marched people through. And if you've read the book, and you can download the book at workthesystem.com, Work the System, The Simple Mechanics of Making More and Working Less. You can download it for free. And you can get my new book, The Systems Mindset, Managing the Machinery of Your Life. Off that, you can go to thesystemsmindset.com and get the book. Or you can get it off the Work the System site. And that's for somebody who doesn't own a business. Work the System is for a business owner or a manager, and the System's Mindset is for a student or a retired or somebody who has a job. So you can download those for free. But what I was saying was you can get everything you want out of the book, but there are some hurdles you need to get over. And one of them is getting it together to get the documentation done correctly. Developing written procedures for your business is mandatory. You have to do it. But how do you get them to stick? Okay, and that's what we're going to talk about today. How do you get your people to be not only tolerant of what you're doing now with the documentation? We don't want them just tolerant. We want them excited about it. And there's a way to do this. There's several ways to do this. This is going to be a powerful and practical podcast. It'll give you three techniques we use in the field and in our own businesses. I have a half a dozen small businesses. It's amazing. The results you'll get will be amazing. Now, we have two surprises at the end of the podcast. I suggest you listen through to the end, not only for the content, but to find out what these surprises are. Our vision is to help businesses do three things. First, smooth out the operations. We want your business running like a sewing machine. smooth and easy, and that's where it gets fun. We want you to have predictable profits, number two. And number three, we want to see you have dramatic growth, and that always happens, almost always happens, if you can see it through and you can get organized and you can get structured. Now, as I mentioned, Josh is on the call here. Josh will do a lot of the talking. He's been with me 5 years. He does all the field work. This man has incredible experience with all kinds of businesses, and he's been running all the consulting and coaching for 5 years now. Hey, Josh, why don't you set the stage about this particular topic and why it's so important?
Very good. All right, thanks, Sam. Great intro. And, let me set the stage. The reason why we're doing this podcast is I had a call just a few weeks ago from a client, well, ends up not being a client, who wanted some work in Florida. He said, I need you to write a procedures binder for me, Josh. Just fly out here, stay for a few weeks, do the whole binder. And I explained to him the way we actually systemize a business, and getting everybody involved, actually working from the ground up and making sure these procedures actually stick. He said, no. I just wanted to get it done. I just want to check it off my list. I just want a binder. I just want a binder full of procedures. He meant online and offline. And after I explained to him that wasn't really going to help him, we decided we should just part ways, right? That's not going to, you know, no matter how much money he pays me, that's not going to help him. And the reason why is we've actually seen it. I don't know if you remember that client that we had, Sam, in L.A., but Sam and I flew out to this client, and he had a wall of procedures, probably 25-plus binders, chock full of procedures in these binders. And we asked him, we said, well, how's your business running? He said, well, it's horrible. And he said, I haven't been on vacation in 10 years. And we say, well, what about these procedures? Are they, you know, are you getting any mileage out of them? He said, well, not really. And I said, well, when's the last time one of your employees, and he had 10 employees, when's the last time one of these employees reviewed them or used them for training, cross-training, delegation, automation? When did you work through these and refine the different processes of your business? He said, oh, well, no one's looked at them for 10 years. And the reason why is he didn't make them stick, right? He wrote them all himself. He got it done, but he didn't actually see the improvements in his business. And that can happen, and we've seen it happen a lot. And it's what people think emotionally. They just want to get the procedure writing done, but they don't understand that the process of integrating and making these procedures stick is that's where the money's made. That's where the efficiencies happen. And that's the exciting part. And you don't want to rush that. You want to, I wouldn't say necessarily enjoy it, but you want to do it the right way so that you can get all of the ROI out of the work you're doing, which is important work. I mean, there's essential ingredients to making sure these things stick. There is the mindset. You have to make sure people get the right mindset, which is you get through the book. For those of you who have not read the book, certainly download that and read that. That's key, understanding the outside and slightly elevated viewpoint. That's important. Your team needs to get that first. They need a strategic objective that's scalable. They need to have a clear direction. That's critical. They need to have operating principles that define the culture, that give them guidelines for decision making. They need to be involved in writing the procedures. There's so many things that are important. The software, writing them so they're off the street. And we thought this podcast would go on for hours and hours and hours, and so we decided, you know what, let's just make this laser focused just on making the procedures stick. So if you're doing all those other things right, then the next step is releasing those procedures to your team. How do you make sure they stick? And you do have to get those fundamentals right first, but this podcast will really be about that next part, laser focused on making it stick.
So Josh, I'll jump in here. I want to talk about, quote, bottom up, unquote. And I talk about it in both of my books. It's incredibly important that your people are excited about what's going on with the documentation. What is the overview mandatory thing you have to do to get that done? And we're going to talk about your 3 points, Josh, but this overview reasoning is important enough. We put this right in at the beginning, and that is your people do the written procedures. You show your people how to do it. Say, look, I want to know how you do such and such. Just put it down on a piece of paper. First, you do this. Second, you do that. Third, you do that. And give me a list of how it works. And we've done this in all of our industries we've worked with. So we go down to the staff, have them write the documentation, and guess what? When somebody writes a procedure for their job, do you think they're going to follow it? You bet they are. And you know what else? If that person in that department has somebody new come in, what do you think? You think that new person is going to be asked to follow that procedure and that it's insisted upon that that person follows that procedure? You bet. So the beautiful thing here is we don't want our owners writing the procedures. Some of them, yes, and especially at first. But the legwork's done by the staff. The legwork's done by the staff, and this is how you get people excited. But if you do the top-down thing, if you do the top-down thing, the military thing, it's really hard to get everybody excited no matter what you do.
Great point, Sam. And certainly it's not going to stick or not stick very well if the owner or upper manager wrote all the procedures, because then they have to maintain them and they have to modify them and they have to do everything because no one else has bought into it or even was engaged in the process. So that's a big deal. Well, let me throw in a disclaimer before I get into these three techniques, and that is you need to use common sense while you're doing these techniques, right? You have to pick the right technique for the right procedure, for the right situation, for the right industry. So these are all techniques that work, but I'm not saying, hey, use technique number one for every procedure you release, because that would be overkill. Or number two, right? In a perfect world, your team is excited about writing them. They release them to the whole company, and everyone does them. And everyone does them perfect, and you don't have to do any of these three techniques. But we all know that this is not a perfect world, and people are your most variable machines in your business, and these types of accountabilities to make the procedure stick really do work practically in the real world. I do them over and over again, and so that's why we're releasing them. And I'll start with the first one, which is called the hard release. Now, the hard release and I'll share a little story about this too, is I had a client in Georgia that did the hard release with, I would say, about 80% of the procedures. Now, for most companies, that would be overkill. But what they did, and what I suggest to you, if you're releasing procedures and you really want to make sure they stick, is to do it like this. And every Tuesday, they would release the new procedures for the week. They would do it over email. This is about 24 to 48 hours before their meeting. So they would release them on Tuesday. They had a meeting every Thursday. First, a digital release. Second, on Thursday, they would get together. They would say, did you have any questions about those procedures? Have you read through them? And they would take those procedures, and they'd have a printed version of each one. And if there was questions or debate, they would have those. They would add the comments to the procedure itself. And they would pass it around the room, and everyone would initial it. All right. And then there was training if need be. Usually there wasn't training necessary. And then the next week they would do it again and again and again. So it was a Tuesday email release, Thursday meeting. Everyone would initial it, training if necessary, and then repeat, repeat, repeat. And what that did was there was no one could say, oh, I never saw that procedure. Oh, well, I never really liked step number four. Or I didn't think step number five was useful, because they all saw it. They all reviewed it. They all had a chance to speak up about it. And they all signed off on it. So there was really no excuses. There was no way they could get it. They could wiggle out of doing that procedure. So the absorption was great. And they stuck with this pattern. And, you know, like the analogy, eating an elephant one bite at a time, they just saw increased improvements, less mistakes, increased quality, increased speed, less chaos week after week after week as they did it this way with the hard release. So if you're in that situation, this was an insurance agency, it worked great for them to do it that way, with the sign-offs each week. Second way that I see procedures really stick would be the traffic cop. That's where there's random checks. So the way you do this, and again, I'll use an example, a recruiting company I'm working with, a consulting client in Texas, is they have a very tedious procedure for the recruiters. So they're helping companies find employees, and so they recruit these people, and then they position them in various companies. And there was this CRM system that was great for the company, really important for their quality, But to the recruiters themselves, it kind of slowed them down. It was kind of a pain. They didn't really like doing it. But overall, everyone agreed it was the best thing to do. But the owner and the manager knew that people would get lazy from time to time because it added extra work to them. And so we said, we're going to police this. We're going to be the traffic cop on this particular procedure. We told everyone how they would be policed, and it was just going to be random. So randomly, these recruiters are making 100 phone calls a day. Randomly, one of those calls a week was going to be checked in detail to make sure they put in the proper data into the CRM system. And they never knew which one. And there was no financial incentive. There was no consequence, but they knew that they were going to be checked. And they knew that the owner would get a report about it. And that was enough to just have full absorption of that procedure. Everyone did it. You know, the first week, people tested the waters, and they got caught. But after that first week, the quality has been impeccable. Everyone's putting the right data in. And now they have clean data in their CRM system, which they never had before. And it all happened with a great procedure and then the policing, right? The policing does take some time, but it was worth it in this particular situation. So for your business, if you have a procedure that's critical to your company and you want to have some way to make sure it actually sticks, I suggest the traffic cop method. And then the third one, which is the most time intensive, but really can be the most powerful, is the PBP method, not to be confused with the PBJ, peanut butter sandwich method, but this one is performance-based pay. Now, in this situation, you're actually going to incentivize them financially based on doing the procedure the right way and the best way, the way that they helped design, the way that they know is best. You're going to hold them accountable to that. And you know, I love when I can set this up in a company and it's automated, it's digital. For those of you with online businesses, virtual businesses, a lot of times you can set it up that way. I've got a client right now that it's just working amazing. But I know, Sam, you've got a great way to do this because it can be done in bricks and mortar businesses. And why don't you share that example, Sam?
Thanks, Josh. Actually, I can combine traffic cop and performance-based pay in this little real-life scenario that we went through 16 years ago with Centratel. And work the system is based on my business, Centratel, which is a kind of a private 911 emergency answering service. We handle doctors and vets and HVACs and funeral homes, a whole series of vertical markets. And what our people do, our TSRs, telephone service representatives, take calls. And they deliver those messages to the client. We have something like 1,200 clients across the United States. 32 years I've had this business. But here's what we do. Once every month, a TSR has a meeting with our quality control team. Now, what's happened before the meeting is that our team has selected randomly 12 messages out of the approximately 5,000 the average TSR handles in a month. And I won't go through how we develop this. How do you take a phone call and quantify it? But I will tell you this. We developed a method whereby we could take a very subjective thing, the quality of a phone call, and turn it into an objective thing that could be measured. 44 separate elements in a message. And so what happens is our quality team randomly selects 12 messages and tears each message apart and rates them on a scale from 0 to 100 on those 44 categories. The TSRs don't know which messages are going to be selected, but Murphy's Law, you know how that works, is, oh, the TSR will say, why did you select that one? I knew when I took that bad message that that would get selected. Well, it just happens. So what we do is we take those 12 calls, come up with a numerical figure, and that TSR gets a bonus, and it can be anywhere from no bonus at all to 15% to 20% up to 35% of what they made in the previous month. So whatever they made in the previous month, if they get the top score, they get 35% bonus. And I'll tell you, our TSRs, if you walk in my office, they are paying attention to every single call. If you can possibly do performance-based pay, you should do it. And don't do it on a team basis. No team basis performance, individual performance. Random checks, performance-based pay, that's a secret to the super high quality that you want to have so you stand out from your competitors.
It's a great example, Sam. And as you're thinking about that example, I was thinking of another traffic cop example. I was thinking of the IRS, right? They don't check everybody's tax returns, but you never know, right? You never know. So you better follow the rules, right? That definitely makes that stick. But the whole point that Sam and I want to bring to you is that you have to get creative. You have to, and you have to do something. Don't just pretend like you're in a world where everyone's just going to do every procedure perfectly every single time. You need to have some accountability in there. Again, the key is engaging them so they actually help write it, make sure you have a clear strategy, all those things we talked about in the beginning. But then when it gets down to the details of the specific procedures that you wrote down, make sure you have a plan in place to make sure they stick. Because the worst thing that you could do would be like our friend over there in LA is write all the procedures, release all the procedures, and then do nothing. Because what's going to happen? They're going to slowly get used less and less often. People are going to develop more and more bad habits, more and more exceptions to the rule. Innovations won't get integrated into the procedures themselves. And then eventually you just have a stack of binders or a stack of digital procedures that are essentially worthless. So it's very important to release in the right way. And hopefully these three techniques are ones you can use today in your business and actually get some results, get some mileage out of those procedures you're writing. It's really important. It's not just the paper they're on. It's the integration of them into your team. So whether you have a virtual business, a new business, family business, a bricks and mortar business, whatever that business is, I know that developing these procedures for your business will make a difference as long as you do it the right way, which is get Sam's book, do it by the book, and methodically, thoroughly get these procedures inserted into your company and make sure they stick. And use one of these techniques.
Hey, Josh, let's just throw this on as a little bit of a bonus. The question is always there, which procedures should I do first? Which procedures should I go after? And that's a very simple thing. You want to go after the biggest problem in your office. Look at your operation or talk to your people and say, what is your biggest problem in the processes that you execute? Well, I don't care what the business is. What is the biggest problem? Where do the complaints show up? Where do people get bogged down in fire killing? That's where you begin. And a lot of times there's one big problem. And so you spend a few hours or maybe a day even, or maybe 2 days by the time you get it finished, and you solve that problem. That recurring problem will never happen again. I guarantee it. If you do the procedure correctly and everybody agrees to follow it, remember, bottoms up, we want everybody in the office to have a say in the procedures that affect them individually. If you do all that, guess what? You've just saved some time and your operation has become smoother. And I'll guarantee this too, there's an added element of profit on the bottom line. And then you go to the next problem, the next most problematic problem, and then the next one and the next one. Do not start with office supplies, where the office supplies are going to be stored. Do not start with that. Start with something that affects the bottom line and or the morale of the office and or the productiveness of the office.
Great point, Sam. Handling the biggest problem first really gets everyone motivated. It helps them see the huge benefit, the ROI they're going to get from investing in doing this, and what kind of company you can have. You can have a company without problems. So I think that morale is key, momentum is key, and that's a great way to kick things off right. Well, thanks, everybody, for taking the time to listen to this podcast. And we are excited for you that you're taking this step, this leap into systemizing your business. Of all the innovations, of all the things you can do to help your company get better, more scalable, more profitable, this is one of those no-brainer things that you have to do. Right, it's literally risk-free, and it will make your company better. I've seen it happen literally hundreds of times. So you're making the right choice. Just take what you learned today and apply it today. There's no reason to wait.
Great job, Josh. It's always fun talking about this stuff, isn't it?
Certainly is, Sam. Well, now as a special bonus, surprise, add-on, whatever you want to call it, for listening to this podcast, we do want to offer you a couple important things. The first is an announcement. and a discount. It is July 13th, and we are releasing for the eighth time our group coaching training. It really is the most powerful way to get this done, to hold you accountable, to go through, walk you through every step, and talk about making sure it sticks. That's what the program is all about. So because you are listening to this podcast now, we're going to offer you all the highest discount that we're offering this program this time around, which is 15% off. So if you go to the group coaching page right now on workthesystem.com, click on apply now to group coaching, and then in the discount code you type in podcast, you will get 15% off, which again, that's the highest discount we're doing this time around. Make sure to do that right now, because we are only going to offer that discount to the first 10 business owners who sign up. So if you want to sign up, if you want to be part of this program, I would do it now, because that podcast discount will expire after the first 10 sign up. Now, secondly, for those of you who want to get started right now on proceduralizing your own business and you want to get your team involved, they're going to need a procedure for procedures. It seems unnecessary, but trust me, trust Sam, it's in his book. You do need a procedure for procedures. Otherwise, your team is going to ask you, well, how do I write these things? And where should I save them? How should I name them? How do we release them? What if I have updates? There's going to be 1,000 questions. It's going to cripple the speed of implementation and eventually the motivation, the morale, the momentum, and it's going to kill the project. I've seen it happen. So you need to go to workthesystem.com/procedure-for-procedures, download this template. It's a template we use with our high-end consulting clients. We use it with our coaching clients. We use it with all of our clients, because we know getting this down on paper right for your business, and it does need to be catered exactly to your business, is going to reduce the frustration, make it smooth, make you as a leader seem like you know what you're doing. So download that template, use it, write your procedure for procedures, and it's really going to help your implementation and make sure those procedures stick. Well, thanks, everybody, and thanks for listening to the podcast. We'll be releasing another one soon, and I look forward to working with you all in the next round of group coaching.